Martinism, History of a Traditional Order, Christian Rabies. In this article, Christian Rabies presents a comprehensive review of the history of the traditional Martinist order, from its beginnings with Louis-Claude de Saint-Martin's mentors, Jacob Burma and Martinez de Pasquale, to today's worldwide mystical order.
In 1889, the Fourth World's Fair, celebrating the centenary of France's 1789 revolution, opened in Paris. It was a splendid fair, where the marvel of electricity triumphed. The fair's main attraction was the inauguration of the Eiffel Tower, a gigantic metallic monument that was soon to become the symbol of triumphant materialism, technology, and industry. Was it not the very incarnation of a new Tower of Babel? Meanwhile, Martinism was in the process of being reorganized and had just begun publishing its magazine, L'Initiation. Upon what foundation did the Martinists of that time rely to erect their temple, and who were the craftsmen of its reconstruction? In answer, one may date the birth of the Martinist order to the meeting of two custodians of an initiation that had been passed down from the time of Louis-Claude de Saint-Martin. Their names were Gérard Encausse, better known as Papus, and Augustin Chabazot. Louis-Claude de Saint-Martin was the disciple of Martinez de Pasquale. Around 1754, Pasquale founded the Ordre des Élus Cohen, Order of Elect Priests, so as to have his disciples work toward personal reintegration through the practice of theurgy, which relied on complex ceremonial practices aimed at what Pasquale termed the reconciliation of the minor person with divinity. This was to be accomplished through human communication with the so-called angelic hierarchies. According to Pasquale, the angels were humankind's only support in his efforts to become reconciled with the divine after the fall. Thus, contrary to what is generally thought, Martinism is not a mere extension of the Ordre des Élus Cohen, and Martinez de Pasquale should not be considered the founder of the Martinist order. In 1772, before the organization of his order was completed, Martinez de Pasquale left France on family business for Haiti, from whence he never returned. He died in Santo Domingo in 1774. After the disappearance of Pasquale, several disciples of the master continued to spread his teachings, each from a unique perspective. Two disciples particularly distinguished themselves, namely Jean-Baptiste Villermotz and Louis-Claude de Saint-Martin. An ardent adept of Freemasonry and theurgy, Jean-Baptiste Villermotz was in contact with the German strict observance templière, strict Templar observance. In 1782, at a conventicle of the order in Wilhelmsbad, Villermotz incorporated Pasquale's teaching into the higher degrees of that order, the degrees of Professe and Grand Professe, but did not pass along the theurgic practices of the Élus Cohen. During the conventicle, the strict observance templière was reformed under a new name, the Chevalier Bienfaisant de la Cité Sainte, Knights Benefactor of the Holy City. Meanwhile, Louis-Claude de Saint-Martin had renounced Freemasonry. He forsook theurgy, the exterior way, in favor of the benefits of the interior way. In fact, he considered theurgy to be dangerous, an angelic evocation far from infallible when conducted through exterior methods. We might even put into Saint-Martin's mouth the following excerpt from a poem by Angelus Silesius, entitled Cherubinique. Go away, seraphims, you cannot comfort me. Go away, angels, and all that may be seen close to you. I jump all alone into the uncreated sea of pure deity. According to Saint-Martin, the implement and crucible of the mysterious communion is the heart of humankind. He sought to enter into the heart of the divine and make the divine enter his heart. It is in this sense that we call the path advocated by Saint-Martin the way of the heart. The evolution of Saint-Martin's interior perspective can be traced to his discovery of the works of Jacob Burma. In his personal diary, Saint-Martin wrote, "It is to my first master, Pasquale, that I owe my first steps upon the spiritual path, but it is to my second master, Burma, that I owe the most significant steps." He enlarged upon the ideas of his two masters and incorporated them into a personal system passed on through an initiation to a few chosen disciples. Saint-Martin was not the founder of the Martinist order, which was a later development. However, we do know that a group formed around him, alluded to in the letters of some of his friends, circa 1795, under the name Cercle Intime, Intimate Circle, or Société des Intimes, Association of Intimates, in Le Lys dans la Vallée, The Lily in the Valley. The great novelist Honoré de Balzac refers to the existence of groups of Saint-Martin's disciples. An intimate friend of the Duchess of Bourbon, Madame de Verneuil, belonged to a holy society whose soul was Mr. Saint-Martin, born in Turin and nicknamed the Unknown Philosopher. This philosopher's disciples practiced the virtues recommended by the high speculations of mystical illuminism. The initiation originally transmitted by Saint-Martin was passed down to modern times through various so-called filiations. By the end of the 19th century, two men in particular were the custodians of the initiation, Dr. Gérard Encausse and Augustin Chabazot, each through a different filiation. Let us briefly examine these filiations. Louis-Claude de Saint-Martin died on October 13, 1803. He had initiated Jean-Antoine Chaptal, a chemist to whom we owe the discovery of certain manufacturing processes for alum and the dyeing of cotton, as well as the vinification process called chaptalization, the process of adding sugar to the must. Chaptal had several children, among them a daughter who married to become Madame Delage. She had a son, Henri Delage, who wrote many books on the history of ancient initiation. He, in turn, was initiated by someone whose name we do not know, probably his father or mother. For when his grandfather Chaptal died, the young Henri Delage was only 7 and too young to receive the initiation. Henri Delage passed on the initiation to Gérard Encausse, Papus, in 1882. The second filiation proceeded as follows. About the middle of 1803, Saint-Martin was staying at Aulnay with his friend the Abbot de Lanoue, whom he had long since initiated. This clergyman, an independent priest possessing an encyclopedic knowledge, initiated the lawyer Antoine-Louis-Marie Hannequin. The latter initiated Hyacinthe Joseph-Alexandre Thibault de Latouche, better known under the pen name of Henri de Latouche, who in turn initiated Honoré de Balzac and Adolphe de Barrault, the Count of Autancourt, to whom we owe a famous dissertation on palmistry. The latter initiated Henri de Latouche's niece, Amélie Noël de Latouche, the Marchioness of Bois-Montmartre, who in 1886 initiated her nephew, Augustin Chabazot. It was from the meeting of these two spiritual descendants of Louis-Claude de Saint-Martin, Augustin Chabazot and Papus, that an initiatory order called Ordre Martiniste, Martinist Order, was born. Papus and Augustin Chabazot were both studying medicine. A mutual friend, Gaëtan Lemery, director of La Revue Spirit, knowing of their deep interest in esotericism, arranged for them to get together. The two medical students soon became friends and discovered their mutual participation in initiatic filiations going back to Louis-Claude de Saint-Martin. In 1888, they pooled what they had received and made plans to pass this on to a few seekers of truth. To achieve this goal, they founded what we call the Martinist Order, and it is only after this time that the Martinist Order can be said to have existed as such. We will later see how the name of the order was altered by adding such qualifications as traditional or synarchical. Although the order had no structure at that time, the number of initiates increased rapidly. It was then that Pappas created the magazine L'Initiation. As Pappas had not yet finished his education, after which he was to complete his military service, it was not until July 7, 1892, that he successfully defended his medical thesis. Still, what activity? He had already organized the Ordre Martiniste, established l'École Hermétique, the Hermetic School, created the magazines L'Initiation and Le Val d'Issis, and written at age 23, Le Traité élémentaire de sciences occultes, the elementary treatise on occult sciences, and at age 24, Le Tarot des Bohémiens, Tarot of the Bohemians. His associates were not much older than he, except for F.C.H. Barlet. In 1887, Pappas's esoteric interest had been aroused by the writings of Louis Lucas, a chemist, alchemist, and hermeticist. A student of occultism, he studied the works of Eliphas Levi and made the acquaintance of Barlet, Albert Faucheux, a learned occultist, and Félix Gabriel, director of the theosophical magazine Le Lotus Rouge, the Red Lotus. In 1887, Pappas also joined the Theosophical Society, founded earlier in 1875 by Helena Blavatsky and Colonel Olcott. Pappas soon adopted a detached attitude toward the Theosophical Society. It promoted an Eastern Buddhistic conception of esotericism, which went so far as to trivialize, even suppress, the perspectives of Western esotericism. This attitude, proclaiming the superiority of Eastern over Western tradition, alarmed Pappas. At the same time, a more serious danger appeared on the horizon, which made it impossible to perpetuate the Western tradition in its customary silence and obscurity. According to Pappas and Stanislaus de Gaeta, some occultists were trying to shift the hub of esotericism away from Paris, its traditional center, to places more favored by the Eastern enthusiasts. Thus it was decided in high places, Pappas wrote, that a campaign of extension should be undertaken to select true initiates capable of adapting the Eastern tradition to the century which was about to open. The purpose was to preserve the perenniality of the Eastern tradition, while at the same time opposing a trend which would have led seekers toward an impasse between Eastern and Western esotericism. Martinism was to be the instrument of this plan. In 1890, Pappas resigned from the Theosophical Society. From that date, Martinism became better organized. Martinist initiations became more frequent, and in the following year, July 1891, the Martinist order created a Supreme Council composed of 21 members. Pappas was elected Grand Master. Through Pappas's many talents and the material support of Lucien Mochel, Chamuel, the order grew rapidly. The first Martinist lodges were established, and four soon appeared in Paris: Le Sphinx, headed by Pappas, which offered general studies; Hermanubis, headed by Cédille, which taught mysticism and Eastern tradition; Valera, headed by Victor-Émile Michelet, devoted to the study of symbolism; and Sphinge, intended to promote the arts. Martinist groups formed in several other French cities as well. The order also spread to Belgium, Germany, England, Spain, Italy, Egypt, Tunisia, the United States, Argentina, Guatemala, and Colombia. The April 1898 issue of L'Initiation claimed as many as 40 lodges throughout the world, and later that year it could boast 113. Martinists wanted to revive Western esotericism. However, there was no place in France where hermetic sciences could be studied. Pappas reflected, "Since there exist faculties where we can learn materialistic sciences, why shouldn't there be one where we can learn esoteric sciences?" To meet that need, Martinus organized a school that would create courses and lectures intended to communicate Western esoteric values to seekers drawn from the public. This school became the breeding ground from which prospective Martinists were selected for initiation. In fact, it was to become the outer circle of the Martinist order, and was called the École Supérieure Libre des Sciences Hermétiques. the Independent High School of Hermetic Sciences. It later changed its name to Groupe Indépendant des Études Esotériques, then to École Hermétique, and finally to Faculté des Sciences Hermétiques, Faculty of Hermetic Sciences. It offered a multitude of courses, about 12 monthly, with subjects ranging from Kabbalah to alchemy. Victor-Émile Michelet to the Tarot, covering the history of Hermetic philosophy. The more diligent teachers were Pappus, Cédir, Victor-Émile Michelet, Berly, Augustin Chabazot, and Cicera. A special group under Augustin Chabazot studied the Eastern sciences. Another, under F. Jolivet Caslot, studied alchemy and took the name Société Alchimique de France, Alchemical Society of France. Having organized the outer circle, then called the Groupe Indépendant d'Études Esotériques, the Martinists also created an inner circle, the Ordre Kabbalistique de la Rose Croix, Kabbalistic Order of the Rose Cross. On July 5, 1892, the Martinist Order and the Ordre Kabbalistique de la Rose Croix were linked by an agreement. According to Stanislas de Gaeta, Martinism and the Rose Cross constitute two complementary forces in the full scientific meaning of the term. The Kabbalistic Order of the Rose Cross had been revived in 1889 by Stanislas de Gaeta and Josephine Paladin. Admission was reserved strictly for Martinist SIs who had attained that degree at least 3 years before and under special circumstances. The number of members was to be limited to 144, but apparently this number was never reached. The purpose of the Ordre Kabbalistique de la Rose Croix was to complete the spiritual formation of those in the SI degree. It was divided into 3 degrees, leading to the following diplomas: Bachelor in Kabbalah, Kabbalah Graduate, and Doctor of Kabbalah. When Stanislas de Gaeta died in 1897, 8 years after the order's founding, Berly was appointed head, but never fulfilled his duties. The Ordre Kabbalistique de la Rose Croix became more or less dormant. As late as World War I, in 1914, Pappus was still trying to revive the order, without success. To spread Illuminism, the Martinists did not hesitate to merge with other initiatory organizations. Thus, in 1908, Pappus organized a great international spiritualistic convention in Paris, an event which brought together no fewer than 30 initiatory organizations. The secretary of this huge undertaking was Victor Blanchard, a Martinist who later made use of this technique to organize the Fudosi. Sometimes in his many alliances, Pappus would allow himself to be overwhelmed by the emotional zeal of his colleagues. So it was with Église Gnostique, Gnostic Church, founded around 1889 by Jules Doisnel after a spiritual experience. It is often claimed that the Gnostic Church became the official church of the Martinists. In fact, the importance of the alliance has been exaggerated by some of the pseudo-successors of Pappus. Although the Martinist order merged with many organizations, les Illuminés, the Illuminati, les Babistes, the Babists, le Rite Écossais, the Scottish Rite, or Memphis Mizraim, it always maintained its independence. It was a common practice in those days to belong to several initiatory organizations at once. Some, unfortunately, abused the privilege, becoming affiliated with a terrible disease that often appears among the superficially initiated, the tendency to collect titles as a substitute for true esoteric study. Pappus and most of the Martinist leaders had assumed important responsibilities in the Egyptian Freemasonry of the Rite of Memphis Mizraim, for example. But compared to its 97 degrees, the few Martinist degrees seemed infinitesimal. A number of Martinists, dazzled by the prodigious titles of the Memphis Mizraim degrees, no longer took time to study the teachings. Thus, many plunged into a kind of initiatory promiscuity and lost the underlying purpose and essence of initiation. With the onset of World War I, the order became dormant. Everyone was involved in defending France. Pappus volunteered for the front and was assigned the post of chief physician with the rank of captain. He viewed as sacred his obligations to his country. Augustin Chabazeau, unable to serve in a physical capacity, joined the departmental staff of Aristide Briand's ministry, first as a magistrate and then as chairman of the board. Pappus died before the end of the war on October 25, 1916. By the time the war was over, members of the Supreme Board were scattered. No new Grand Master was elected. With Pappus gone, Martinism is dead, Jolivet Casselot lamented. Several Martinists tried to assume leadership of the order, but they altered the essence of Martinism so drastically that many Martinists preferred not to participate and remained independent. Several Martinist groups came into existence at that time, but most were short-lived and followed no single leader. When a Russian Martinist asked Barlet who was the order's leader in France, Barlet answered, half-smiling, "Martinism is a circle whose circumference is everywhere, with its center nowhere." Let us take a quick look at the organizations of this period, which are often confused, and some of the issues that historians have enjoyed clouding. The first of these organizations was formed under the leadership of Jean Bricot, who claimed that Pappus had designated Thédée to be his successor, and Thédée, in turn, on his deathbed, had named Bricot as his successor. He showed the Parisian Martinists a document purporting to certify his appointment as head of the order, but no one took it seriously, believing that Bricot had probably written it himself, and he was not recognized. Jean Bricot formed a small group in Lyon which Masonized the order by admitting only 18th-degree Masons. The result was a version of Martinism which had little to do with that of Pappus and Augustin Chabazeau. In addition, Jean Bricot claimed an Alou Cohen filiation, which Robert Ambelin has shown to be without foundation. Bricot's movement remained essentially centered in Lyon. A second group was established under the leadership of Victor Blanchard. Blanchard had been master of the Parisian lodge Melchizedek and was recognized by a number of Parisian Martinists. On November 11, 1920, the Journal Officiel announced the establishment of Victor Blanchard's order under the name Union Générale des Martinistes et des Synarchistes, General Association of Martinists and Synarchists, or Ordre Martiniste Synarchique, Synarchical Martinist Order. In 1934, Victor Blanchard initiated H. Spencer Lewis into that order. Later, Lewis would receive from Blanchard a charter to be Grand Inspector for the Americas, another to be the Sovereign Grand Master Legate for the United States, and authorization to establish the Louis-Claude de Saint-Martin Temple in San Jose. Ralph Maxwell Lewis would also be initiated into the Ordre Martiniste Synarchique in September 1936. We will return to the Ordre Martiniste Synarchique later. In Paris, several independent groups were created, but there was no Supreme Council acknowledged by Martinists as a whole. In fact, most Martinists preferred to continue working independently in the background instead of rushing into quarrels over succession. There seemed to be no solution to the problem. In 1931, Jean Chabazeau suggested to his father that the survivors of the 1891 Supreme Council meet to reestablish the Martinist order on its pristine foundations. Apart from A. Chabazeau, the only survivors were Victor-Émile Michelet and Chamuel. We must not forget that Augustin Chabazeau was the co-founder of Martinism in 1889, and had received his initiation through the direct filiation of his aunt Émilie de Bois-Mormaer. Victor-Émile Michelet had been an important member of the Hermetic University and master of the Velada Lodge. Chamuel had been the material organizer of the order, using the back room of his bookstore to shelter the first activities of the order. Other Martinists joined them, Dr. Octave Béliard, Dr. Robert Chaplin, Pierre Lévy, Iamar Struvet, Gustave Tautin, as well as Pappus's son, Philippe Encausse. Philippe associated with the Martinist order for a time, then parted from it. His concerns seem to have been elsewhere, as confirmed by a book he devoted to the memory of his father the following year. On July 24, 1931, the Martinists, meeting again with Augustin Chabazot, decided to revive Martinism under its authentic and traditional aspect. To distinguish it from numerous pseudo-Martinist organizations, they added the qualification traditional to the name of the order. In doing so, the survivors of the 1891 Supreme Council laid claim to the perpetuity of the order founded by them with Papas. Martinism was regaining some of its strength. A Grand Master was appointed. As tradition dictated, it was the oldest member, Augustin Chabazot. As early as April 1932, he chose to relinquish the office to Victor-Émile Michelet. Although active, the order remained relatively secret under his leadership. When Michelet died on January 12, 1938, Augustin Chabazot resumed the office of Grand Master of the traditional Martinist order. In August 1934, the first meetings of the Fudoci were held in Brussels. Various initiatory orders were brought together to unite their efforts. Through the Fudoci, Victor Blanchard hoped to restore the worldwide unity of Martinism under his leadership. However, many Martinists were absent. The traditional Martinist order was not represented and does not seem to have been invited. Jean Bricot, probably fearing that his title would be challenged, preferred to abstain. On August 9th, during a Martinist meeting, Victor Blanchard was recognized as Sovereign Grand Master by attending Martinists and Georges Legrez as Deputy Grand Master. Victor Blanchard authorized Dr. H. Spencer Lewis to establish lodges of the Synarchical Martinist Order in the United States, but was unable to deliver the required documents to either Lewis, Émile Dantienne, Édouard Berthollet, or others. As a precaution, Dr. Lewis preferred to wait for formal general rules before venturing further. Martinists from other jurisdictions adopted the same attitude. It turned out that the activities of the Synarchical Martinist Order were limited to the transmission of the various Martinist degree initiations, and the order otherwise had no actual existence. There was no Martinist Lodge in Paris at the time, and Victor Blanchard gave his initiations in the temple of the Fraternité des Polaires. 5 years later, not much had improved. In 1939, the Fudoci resolved to remove the trust that had been bestowed on Victor Blanchard. Georges Legrez took the opportunity to point out to members of the Fudoci that there was indeed a Martinist fully qualified to lead the order, whose existence Blanchard, intentionally or not, had never mentioned. This Martinist, Augustin Chabazot, past collaborator of Papas and last survivor of the 1891 Supreme Council, was also the only one entitled to direct the destiny of Martinism. Consequently, a delegation was sent to meet with Augustin Chabazot. After considering the situation, he agreed to head the Martinist order. At a special Fudoci meeting, all the attending Martinists rallied before the authority of the Grand Master of the traditional Martinist order. Thus, in July 1939, the traditional Martinist order was admitted into the Fudoci, resulting in a drop in the membership of the Synarchical Martinist order. Augustin Chabazot, who had just assumed the leadership of Martinism, replaced Victor Blanchard as imperator of the Fudoci, becoming one of a triad of imperators running that organization, the two others being Sar Hieronymus, Émile Dantienne, and Ralph M. Lewis, his father having passed through transition on August 2, 1939. A few days later, a letter from the International Supreme Council of the Traditional Martinist Order confirmed Ralph M. Lewis's appointment as Regional Grand Master for the United States of America and member of the International Supreme Council. Just as Martinist tradition was being reestablished across the Atlantic Ocean, and none too soon, European Martinists, a few months later, were subjected to a new and terrible ordeal. World War II was to have dire consequences for the Martinist order. Many Martinists lost their lives on battlefields and in concentration camps. On August 14, 1940, shortly after the outbreak of hostilities, the French official newspaper published a decree from the Vichy government banning all secret societies in France. Most of the leaders of these organizations were arrested. The traditional Martinist order became dormant in France in an official sense. But underneath, the true work never stopped, as Athanor and Broceliande lodges remained secretly active. Taking refuge in Brittany, Augustin Chabazot was not overtly harassed, but Dr. Belliard had some difficulties with the Gestapo. Georges Lagrèze was forced to hide in Normandy, then in Angers. But despite constant searches of his residence, he continued to communicate with Ralph M. Lewis through Jean Guesdon. By the end of the war in 1945, there were only a few survivors left. The traditional Martinist order was officially revived under Augustin Chabazot, but unfortunately passed through transition on January 2, 1946. Georges Lagrèze died in Angers on April 16th of that year. The order in France had, with their passing, lost essential elements. Jean Chabazot was appointed to succeed his father. Though a worthy Martinist, he was a poor organizer and failed to revive the order in France. The members of the Supreme Council gradually lost confidence in him and resigned. It should be stated, however, that some Martinists did much to complicate his work. Tired of quarreling, Jean Chabazot decided to declare the order dormant. Belgian Martinists, under the leadership of Sar Renatus, René Hossard, tried to continue the work of the order under the name Ordre Martiniste Universel, and Victor Blanchard approved the decision. But René Hossard's transition in October 1948 effectively checked any further development of the Universal Martinist Order. Brother Heb Ailgim C., Dr. E. Berthollet, succeeded René Hossard, but chose to allow an order that had never been active to die out. On May 13, 1965, Dr. Berthollet passed away without appointing a successor. Meanwhile, the traditional Martinist order had suffered no harm in the United States and was working quietly, waiting for affairs to calm down in Europe. Ralph Lewis kept his title of regional grandmaster, and 10 years later, when the traditional Martinist order was reestablished in France and other countries, he assumed the title of sovereign grandmaster. For 48 years, Ralph M. Lewis led the traditional Martinist order. After his transition on January 12, 1987, he was succeeded by Gary Stewart. In April 1990, Christian Bernard was appointed Sovereign Grand Master of the traditional Martinist order. As you can see, the Martinist order, despite adversity, has always succeeded in transmitting its light through time. Though there exist several Martinist obediences today, it is the traditional Martinist order which has the largest membership. In the last few years, Sovereign Grand Master Christian Bernard has been patiently reorganizing the order. 100 years after the establishment of the Supreme Council in 1891, and 60 years after the founding of the traditional Martinist order, he announced plans both to re-center the order on its traditional values and practices and to adapt it to the modern world. Under his leadership, the order appears to be experiencing a new birth. 100 years after the French Revolution, Martinists under the leadership of Papas sought in their own way to contribute to the spiritualization of their time. In their desire to execute this mission, they scattered serviteurs inconnus, unknown servants, throughout the world in furtherance of the great work. The stakes at the time were considerable. The threats hovering over Eastern esotericism, the ascent of an industrial civilization, the advent of the reign of quantity, all posed real dangers to the interior life of humanity. The present bears similarities to that period, and all could see in the bicentennial celebration of the French Revolution in 1889 that much remains to be done. Victor Hugo said, "Revolution changes everything, except the human heart." Humanity now, as in the period of the Martinist resurgence, is imperiled by progress. It is not by chance that initiatory organizations such as the traditional Martinist order have been so active as of late, for they teach that it is not outside that a revolution must take place, but inside of us, within the heart of each. Martinists call this the way of the heart.